Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute designed to equip believers to defend their faith and live their lives as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. A brand new month, brand new resources available for those who support the ministry. You can find them on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. One of the resources available is an excerpt from my newest book, which will be out in November. And we have a little taste of what that book is going to be. And you'll see that again as one of the offers that are available. You can find on the web at equip.org. Also, three books that I have written that I'm highly committed to. One is titled Resurrection, and we're in the season of Pascha. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the capstone in the arch of Christianity. If Christ has not been resurrected, then our faith is useless. We're still in our sins, but Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. We know that Christ suffered fatal torment, that the tomb was empty. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. And Christ appeared, and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Those appearances utterly transformed his disciples. Resurrection, the Third Day, and another book that I wrote some time ago titled Incarnation. So often when we think of what Athanasius the Great said, you know, he's the one that codified the 27 books of the Bible formally in 367. He said, God became man so that man might become God. And oftentimes great consternation is appended to the last part of that aphorism, that men might become God. And of course, that has to be properly contextualized. We can never be gods by nature. We are gods by grace. By grace, we are partakers of the divine nature. But, you know, the real consternation ought to be appended to the first part of the aphorism. God became man. Imagine that God cloaked himself in human flesh, that we could know him and have intimacy with him, not only in this life, a life that pretends for true believers, a life that is life to the full, but also in the life that is to come. Those resources available, you can find them on the web at equip.org. So many calling in. I better go right to the phone lines. First up is Daniel in Brooklyn, New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Daniel.
Hank, how are you doing?
I am doing wonderfully well.
Great. It's been quite some time since I've talked to you, and just hope that everything's going well with you and the family, and more blessings of health. I know I'm hearing what you're going through, and you know, just praying that the Lord continue to bless you with strength to continue helping us grow in our faith and our walk with Christ.
Bless you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. So my question today stems from a conversation I've had with my brother, and pretty much the idea is about church growth. And what I've come down to, my assessment of it is, I think when it comes to what we're getting in church, the members do well when they're focused on the members inside of the church, but we're selfish because we're not focusing outward and outside of the church. So we're more selfish than selfless, which brought me to the Great Commission, which I quoted for him, in that there's three steps that were given to us when Jesus instructed us. He said, he told us to go, he told us to baptize them in his name, And then he told us to teach the things that he has taught the disciples. And my question to you is in regards to churches, I guess, in general in America. I'm just thinking of my particular circle here in Brooklyn, New York. Do you see the Great Commission and us Christians being disobedient and not following it?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think it's absolutely right, Daniel. I think that the Great Commission in our day has become the Great Omission. And I love the way you framed your question, because it's absolutely true that we're not only to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but teach to obey whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I remember reading a book. In fact, I promoted the book on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which was written by the award-winning journalist John Dickerson. It was titled The Great Evangelical Recession. And what Dickerson points out is that we're dividing and not conquering over a number of issues: politics, theology, church models, methods, views of Scripture, approaches to the atonement, and the list goes on. And as he has rightly pointed out, that is a composite picture of disaster, because we're not only losing most of our kids, but our evangelism efforts are not keeping pace with population growth. And in the midst of all of this, or as a result of all of this, the unified evangelicalism of the 21st century is splintering and fraying and turning against itself. Now, what Dickerson was writing about with respect to evangelicalism is true, I think, of the global church as well. We are losing the millennial generation, we're losing Generation Z. And I think the problem is not only a problem where we're self-absorbed, as you point out, or selfish, but I think the problem is also a problem that those who are within the church really don't know what they have been given. Meaning they're in the church, but they're like a fish in water, unaware of the treasures that they have been given. If that fish was taken out of the water, it would die. It doesn't realize that it's receiving the sustenance of life from that water. And I think we're the same way with respect to the church. We have received, as Jesus described it, Matthew 13, a treasure that is incomparable. And oftentimes we bury that treasure and never go to retrieve that treasure when in our great joy we should sell everything we have so that we can partake of that treasure. And so I think there's two problems. One is we're not letting the outside world know what Christianity truly represents as opposed to a caricature of Christianity. Two, we have the problem internally within the church that the people who are going to church oftentimes are missing the greatness and the glory of the ground and pillar of truth, as Paul calls it. The church is the ground and the pillar of truth. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Charlie next. Charlie's also in New York. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you something. You said a long time ago that you were studying the book of Revelation, and it was over 20 years ago, and you said you memorized, I think, the whole book of Revelation, or you were trying to do that. And I wanted to know, what is your end time position?
Well, two questions there, really. My position with respect to eschatology is called exegetical eschatology. And I coined that phrase to underscore that above all else, I'm deeply committed to a proper method of biblical interpretation as opposed to any particular model of eschatology. I think if you start in the second part of your question really revolves around Revelation. You mentioned Revelation. Well, if you start with Revelation, you oftentimes have all kinds of different disparate views of Revelation. People don't know how to interpret the book of Revelation. And the reason is they don't know the art and science of biblical interpretation. As I wrote a book about this very subject called The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today, I point out that the key or the code breaker to the book of Revelation is to read it in concert with the rest of Scripture. And when you do, you find out that it's very much like the New Testament epistles. John is writing to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. He's telling them to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. And so he is not writing the book of Revelation to us in the 21st century. He's writing it for us in the 21st century. But he's writing to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. What we do oftentimes is we take what he's writing and we transfer it into the 21st century. Now, a lot of it does apply to us in the 21st century, just as all of the Bible does. Paul writes to Romans, and what he does, he's not only giving them instructions, but he's giving them an eternal perspective. And this is precisely what the book of Revelation does. It lets us know that there is a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. And we want to be one of those, a part of the new Jerusalem, carried over the threshold of Jordan by Jesus into the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. So it's about a persecuted bride, a prostituted bride, and ultimately a perfected bride. Be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. 888-ASK-HANK.
Fatal torment, empty tomb, appearances of Christ, transformation. These four witnesses prove the resurrection of Christ, the central truth of Christianity, and our only hope of heaven. Hank's book, The Third Day, examines the historical facts in depth to help you defend your faith and rejoice in your own coming resurrection. The Third Day is our thank you for your gift today to help produce more Bible Answer Man broadcasts and other truth-affirming CRI resources. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to request your copy today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as I think about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, we celebrate incarnation as one of the great mysteries, a mystery in which we can say that in our relationship with one another, we are called to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Some of you may immediately recognize that I'm simply quoting. I'm quoting Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Jesus emptied himself so that we might be filled. His kenosis, his emptying, is our theosis. It's our filling. His death ultimately becomes our life. And so he not only died that we might overcome sin and death, but that we might have life that is life to the full in the present. I haven't been remembering the quote of the day, but this ought to be the quote of the day. Philippians 2, 5 through 8, ponder it, meditate on it. It is wonderful to meditate upon the Word of God. But go back to the phone lines with Dr. Richard in Austin, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? God bless you and your ministry.
God bless you.
Yes. My question is, there are those who teach that once you're forgiven, which I understand, once you're forgiven in Christ, you're forgiven. But they teach you that if a man sins, he don't need to ask for forgiveness again, because when you do, it is as if your faith is not there and you don't believe you were forgiven in the first place. What is your answer to that?
You know, just on a human level, you wonder if that would work very well in your marital relationships. You think that you do something against your wife, and instead of asking for forgiveness, when she calls you on it, you say, you know, you forgave me for something a long time ago, and therefore I don't need to ask you for forgiveness now. I mean, obviously, we must continually confess our sins. Now, it's not only common sense to say that, but this is precisely what the Apostle John urged his dear children in the faith, those who have been forgiven on account of Christ's name, to do, to continually confess their sin. And that doesn't cheapen God's grace. Confession purifies our hearts. It restores the joy of our salvation. And of course, a prayer that I recite every moment, every morning when I get up, every evening when I go to bed, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. It includes the statement, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And that petition, like the contrition of David in the Old Testament, brings with it the solace of grace and peace, the sacrifices of God. Are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And then I think of James. James explicitly exhorted believers to confess their sins to one another and to confess their sins to God. And as is the case with John, James uses a grammatical construction that is known as a, not to get into the weeds here, but a present active subjunctive. And what that does is it denotes continual confession. So each time we partake of the Eucharist, we examine ourselves, we confess our sins, that we won't come under judgment. In fact, in the Orthodox Church, we have a sacrament of confession. And so it's actually a sacrament. And there are times during the year, sometimes it's monthly, sometimes it's twice a year. It depends on the person. But there are times where we confess our sins and the priest or the pastor isn't there as someone we're confessing to. We're not confessing to the priest, we're confessing to the Lord, and the priest is a witness and a counselor. And so we have a sacrament of confession that dates back to the time of the early church as well. So the scriptures, holy tradition, point us very, very clearly to the efficacy of confession, and I think that it is a great blight on the modern day church for there to be apologists and evangelists and preachers with mega platforms that now tell you that if you confess your sins, it's tantamount to spitting in God's eye. That, I think, is heresy.
Okay. Thank you very much. That helped a lot.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Gordon next in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Gordon.
Yeah, hi, Hank. Are you there?
Yep.
I was wondering, I know what Leviticus 19:28 states about tattoos. I was just wondering what the New Testament or your opinion is with the massive increase of so many people getting tattoos today.
Well, there's only one passage in Scripture that I know of, and it's the one you referenced, Leviticus 19:28. And in that passage, if you look at the context, you have God forbidding the Israelites from wearing tattoos for a reason. He wanted them to be separate from the practices of the pagan cultures around them. So the reason behind forbidding a tattoo was not because a tattoo is intrinsically wrong, but because a tattoo was associated with paganism. And I think today there are a lot of people that are associating with the paganism of our day. They're associating with the drug culture, and so they are doing the very thing that Leviticus, in principle, is telling us not to do. So the point here, again, is that there's nothing wrong intrinsically with a tattoo. In fact, there could be something very right with it. I'll give you one example. My daughter Christina has a tattoo on her wrist. And she put that tattoo on her wrist after she talked to a Coptic Christian. And that Coptic Christian knew or directly witnessed people who were martyred for their faith. And he often thought to himself, if I were in that situation and my head was going to be cut off, and this, by the way, is happening in the Levant today, the epicenter of the Middle East, if I was in that situation, could I be true and do as Polycarp did, say, 80 and 6 years have I served him, will I now reject the Lord who saved me? Could I be faithful to the end? Well, he thought to himself, if he put a tattoo of a cross on his wrist, he couldn't deny Christ if he wanted to. And so he put that tattoo on his wrist. Anyway, he had a conversation with my daughter, and my daughter saw it, and she said, you know, I want to have that tattoo on my wrist too as a testimony to Jesus Christ. So far from associating with paganism, it is her way of non-verbally associating herself in every way with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I would have no problem with that whatsoever.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.
I'm glad you're doing well. We've been praying for you.
Oh, thank you so much. And yes, I am doing well. In fact, you know, I went through 3 days of chemo yesterday, and I got right out of my chemo bed, as it were, and got on a plane and went to Annapolis, Maryland, and I spoke there 2 hours before lunch on Saturday, 2 hours after, and then on Sunday. And I, quite frankly, was out of gas, but I found out that my resources are fairly meager and God's are not, and so He gave me the strength I needed when I needed it. And coming back from all of that, I feel very invigorated because I had an opportunity to do the will of the Lord, and just nothing could be more precious to me. So I was grateful for having that. And then I had the great privilege this morning of waking up. I woke up and my hand goes to this big tumor that I have just under my right jaw. And it didn't seem to be shrinking. And if it's not shrinking, then we have to find another way to get into remission. And so just didn't know what to do. And didn't seem to be shrinking after 3 days of chemo yesterday, last week, and then, and then this morning as I was laying in bed, my hand went to that tumor, and I thought, boy, it feels a lot smaller. I got up and looked in the mirror, and surely it was smaller. And so I got back in bed with my wife. I said, honey, I think my tumor is shrinking. And of course, that's just a visible one, but if it's shrinking, the invisible ones or the ones inside my body are probably shrinking as well. We have a doctor's appointment tomorrow to do blood work and so forth, and we'll find out what happens with all of that. Hopefully, I'll get all of that done in the morning. But yeah, I'm very grateful because a lot of people, as Gordon just mentioned, are praying for me, and you cannot know what that means when you're going through a battle with cancer. So I'm grateful for the prayers of God's people. I'm grateful for the strength that God accords me. Grateful for the opportunity to answer questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And Lord willing, I'll be right back in this chair tomorrow evening answering more of your questions. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember, I'm deeply, deeply grateful for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.